and open with me to John 8. Open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 8. We are going to study our memory verse for the month and the verses that follow it, and we need to talk about those who are slaves of sin. As you open there, our verses are going to be John 8, 34 to 36. The title of the message is Slaves of Sin, and I want to ask you, how many of you would say, by a show of hands, that yes, you have seen or known, either by your own personal experience, or maybe you have seen or known someone, you would say, yes, I have seen or experienced this idea of slavery to sin. And my hand is going up, okay? A lot of us have seen that. But what you might think of is a mom or dad or a relative who was enslaved to drugs, right? We say, oh, yes, I know a relative who does drugs and was enslaved, or we might say addicted to alcohol or drugs. I've been open. My mother was addicted to alcohol. She was a slave of alcohol, not really addicted, but a slave of alcohol, and we've seen that. But I would also tell you, many people you would not suspect are slaves of sin. I, in my youth, I came to know as a believer, was enslaved to sin. And what you're going to see today is this simple fact that all those who are living their lives outside of Jesus Christ are slaves of sin. Whether you believe it or not doesn't change the fact. You would be wiser to accept what Jesus says, unlike the Jews to whom he spoke this. So we're going to look at John 8, 34 to 36. As always, I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. This is the word of Jesus Christ. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Now, let's not miss the very simple fact that Jesus Christ is speaking here about people. The word people is not in the text. But when he says whoever, or your Bible might say everyone who, this is talking about people. People who are slaves of sin. People who commit sin. And Jesus says this to Jews. I would doubt that any of the Jews thought that they were slaves to sin. And that's what we see here. The last thing that they would think is that they were slaves to sin. But notice what happens. He says this to Jews who had professed faith in him and who believed something he had said. Verse 30, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. So now we have professing believers. Look at verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. So notice the context here. Jesus Christ is talking to Jews. Do they believe in God? Yes. Do they believe the Bible? Yes. Are they sincere in their religion? Yes. But they were slaves of sin. Jesus says to these Jews who had professed faith in him, who had believed something that he said to them in verse 31, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Now, this they did not accept. And the reason is because Jesus, by saying this, had implied that they were not already free. And so they take issue with what he said. Notice verse 33. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone." Of course, you could bring up Babylon, you could bring up Egypt, but I don't think that's what they mean. I think these Jews mean, how do you say to us about being made free, we are free already? We're the Jews, we're in the house of God. This was all taking place in the temple. We're in the temple of God, we're Jews, we're God worshipers. We here have never been enslaved to anyone. How do you say that you will be made free? End of verse 33. And to these Jews who believed in God, believed the Bible, even believed to a degree in Jesus, Jesus says to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Now, we're not going to cover the rest of this context today, but as you know, these Jews, as it turns out, were sons of the devil. Professed faith in Jesus Christ, believed something Jesus said, were in the temple of God, but we're sons of the devil. How do you explain that? Verse 34. We need to understand this truth. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." And here Jesus Christ reveals to these Jews and to everyone like them, number one, their present spiritual condition. I want you to see, number one, their present spiritual condition. The present spiritual condition of everyone who has not been set free by Jesus Christ. What is their present spiritual condition? They are slaves. Slaves of sin. And then second, Jesus reveals to them their tragic future. What is it? Verse 35, "And a slave does not abide in the house forever." This is a reference to their tragic future. And finally, he reveals their only hope. Their only hope is Jesus Christ. That's in verse 36. So their present spiritual condition, their tragic future end, really, their tragic future end, and their only hope. Take a look. Notice first the present spiritual condition of everyone who continues in sin. Verse 34, it's really quite clear. It's just hard to swallow. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." What is the terrible spiritual condition of everyone who continues in sin? They are slaves. Slaves of sin. Every one of them. They might not look like it. They may not think they are, but it doesn't change the fact. When Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you," he's announcing the certainty and authority of this truth. But what does Jesus mean when he says, in my translation, "whoever commits sin"? Now look at your Bibles, okay? Look at your Bibles. Mine says "whoever commits sin," which almost makes it sound like whoever commits a sin, which I'd say all of us did this past week. So is that what this means? Whoever, if you commit any sin, from then on you're a slave of sin? Absolutely not. In the Greek, which is very important to look at, in the Greek the word is poieo, which is very consistently translated do or does. I wish they'd have translated it that way, and some of your Bibles probably have that. That doesn't sound like good English, but we say, what about somebody who does and keeps doing drugs? What do we say? Well, he's addicted. Yeah, and we use that language, right? Yeah, he does drugs, and he's addicted to drugs. That's the word here, but it's whoever does sin like a drug. Whoever does sin. Whoever does and keeps on doing sin, which means that sin is the pattern of their life. Sin is the way they live. We also talk about, have you ever heard the phrase, yes, they're living in sin? You've heard of that. They're living in sin. Yeah, what does that mean? They're not married, they're committing fornication, they're living in sin. Yes, that would be an example of someone who is a slave of sin. But there are many, many others. Here's what this means. It means week after week, month after month, year after year, this person goes on in some kind of sin. Week after week, month after month, year after year, this person is drinking to excess. Or week after week, month after month, year after year, this person is engaging in pornography. Slave of sin. Week after week, year after year, month after month, this person is living in sin. Hating his brother. Disobeying parents. Telling lies. Sowing seeds of discord. Becoming more puffed up with pride. All of those things are sins. And Jesus Christ is teaching here that in every case, regardless of the specific sin, whoever continues to do sin, whoever keeps on sinning, that person is a slave of sin. That's a word for bondage. That means this person needs to be set free. This person is in spiritual chains. This person is under a spiritual taskmaster. And what is the wages of serving sin like a master? The wages of sin is death. This is the teaching here. Whoever does sin is a slave of that sin. And think about the Jews, to whom Jesus speaks. They believed God. They believed the Bible. They no doubt went to synagogue on Saturday. They were sincere in their religion, but they were slaves of sin. What sin were they slaves to? Do you know? Say again?
Unbelief.
The sin of unbelief, and another one is hypocrisy. These are Jews, and Jesus told them about this time and time again, who would show up looking good on synagogue day, assembly day, gathering day, but if you were to look at their lives throughout the week, Jesus knew They were living as hypocrites. And they were teaching as commandments of God the traditions of men. Their righteousness was their tradition. Remember the prayer of the Pharisee? I'm glad I'm not like that man. I give a tithe of everything I own. Right? They were puffed up with spiritual pride, thinking that their righteousness was bound up in keeping the traditions of men. That's not true. The truth is that everyone who has been born in sin. And unless you've been born again, you've only been born in sin. And by nature, we all continue in sin, which is why it's a shame to me. But for the first 27 years of my life, I was a slave of sin. I was enslaved to my own lusts and passions. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you weren't born a believer. You were born again to become a believer, but you weren't born a believer. And some of you, if you were saved later in life, you remember. Anybody remember, willing to testify, you remember what it's like being a slave to sin? I do. And we would say things like, oh, I need to stop doing that. It's wrong. It's like we even knew it was sinful. Oh, wretched man that I am, Romans 7, which is not the believer's struggle, Romans 7. Romans 7 is Paul understanding that by nature, we are slaves of sin. And if we had to live under the law of Moses, we could never make it. That's why Paul says, even the things I don't want to do, that I practice. Well, Paul was not practicing evil as an apostle. He's showing how terrible sin is and how it's so sinful that even when the law comes and says, don't covet, you start coveting. You tell the child, don't cross that line. And what's the kid's first thought? Oh, you mean I could cross that line? Slaves of sin. You say, well, what about those who have been born again? Can they continue in sin? What's the answer? I hope you shake your head no. Absolutely not. Listen to John the Apostle. I won't have you turn there for the sake of time. But John, in 1 John, is very clear about this. He says, here's how you know children of God and children of the devil. Listen to what he says. Whoever commits sin, exact same words as Jesus Christ, here in John 8. This is 1 John 3, verse 4. Whoever commits sin, same words. Whoever keeps on doing sin, whoever keeps living in sin, whoever keeps not worshiping God, whoever keeps going their own way, whoever keeps rejecting the gospel, that person also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he, that is Jesus Christ, was manifested to take away our sin, and in him there's no sin. But whoever abides in him does not sin. That's 1 John 3, verse 6. Whoever abides in Jesus Christ does not sin. That does not mean we never commit a sin. But it does mean we don't live in sin. When we sin, we are convicted by the Holy Spirit and we confess our sin. And we humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, please forgive me for that lie, for that exaggeration, for becoming angry with my wife or with my husband, for acting out in anger, right? The Spirit of God inside of us convicts us of sin and we do not go on living in sin. Not so with the unbeliever. Listen to what he says. Whoever goes on in sin has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you, 1 John 3, 7. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. But he who goes on sinning is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. It was for this purpose that the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In other words, Christ came to set people free from bondage to sin and the devil. But notice what he says next, 1 John 3, 9. Whoever has been born of God does not go on sinning. Why? Because God's seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. Now, how many of you know what church discipline is? You know what church discipline is? Raise your hand. Okay, a lot of you know what church discipline is. Well, what is that? That is Jesus Christ shepherding the flock. The first part of Matthew 18 is the good shepherd cares about the one stray sheep, leaves the 99 and goes after the one, right? Any one of us might fall into a sin. And what happens? Let's say it's me. I'll make me the bad guy. Okay? And it's happened in my life. Let's say that I fall into some sin. Let's say that Pastor Dan sees it. And he comes to me and he says, John, that is not what you did there or the way you treated that person. That was not right. That happened. A brother came to me. I told you about it before. And he confronted me in sin. By the grace of God, I was instantly convicted. It never went beyond that. And I said, you're right. Please forgive me. Okay. Let's say I harden my heart and stiffen my neck, and it goes to step two. Then what? Then he's going to bring two or three others with him, and they're going to confront me. And if your brother repents, what? You've won your brother back. Not going to keep straying. That's the way it is with a believer. A believer is going to repent at step one or step two or step three. What's step three? You go to the entire church. We've been there. Many of you have been here in this church. We went to step three of church discipline, but that man, I won't say his name, but that man came to church that day, stood up in our midst, and asked all of us to forgive him. Anybody remember that? I just talked to him the other day. He's doing well by the grace of God. Okay? Yeah, he's doing good. We've been there. Believer in Jesus Christ, but it went to step three. But what happens if it goes beyond that? If he will not even listen to the church, you count that person a Gentile and a tax collector. And you count that as somebody who's enslaved to sin, and you seek that they might be saved. What is Jesus saying here? He is saying, whoever goes on sinning is a slave of sin. That is their present spiritual condition. They're in bondage, and they need to be set free. We'll talk about application in a moment, but I hope that you already see one of them, is people need to be told the truth. If somebody is enslaved to sin, they need somebody like Jesus Christ who will lovingly speak the truth. And Jesus is speaking the truth to Jews here who'd made a profession of faith in him, but he knows they're rejecting him. They don't really believe in him. They've hardened their heart. They're stiffening their neck. They're puffed up with spiritual pride, and they're rejecting the words of Jesus Christ. And the moment you see that someone is rejecting the words of Jesus Christ, you should be concerned. And you could quote to them this truth and say, you know, whoever goes on in sin is a slave of sin. That might be enough to get them to turn around. Notice, second, their future tragic end. This is the future tragic end of everyone who goes on in sin. Verse 35. Jesus says, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. Now stop there. Where was Jesus when he said this? In the house of God. He was in the house of God, in the temple, verse 20. This whole context is Jesus in the temple. And in verse 20, they're in the household of God. And Jesus here is warning Jews who are in the house of God, saying that whoever goes on in sin is a slave of sin, and a slave of sin does not abide in the house of God forever. These Jews who are hearing this, when we study the rest of this context, we're going to see they are not listening. They are not receiving what Jesus says. And Jesus finally says, why is it that you do not believe me? Verse 46, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? It's because they're not born of God. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. The same is true of you here this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not listening, you're not paying attention to what God says, or you're not believing it, it's because you're not of God. You've never been born again. You've never been born of God. And what is the future for people like that? Jesus says, verse 35, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. Where do they abide? On the outside. Listen, the Bible ends with the same truth we're seeing right here in John 8. The Bible ends with this very same truth. I'll just have you listen. Revelation 22:12. Jesus says, behold, look, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And here's what he says, Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Do his commandments? Same word as here, do. And it's the opposite of doing sin. Blessed are those whose pattern of life is to love God and to love others. Blessed are those whose pattern of life is to serve others, to lay down their lives for the brethren, to worship God in spirit and truth. Blessed are those people who do the commandments of Jesus Christ. He says that they might have the right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. This is talking about those who are believers in Jesus. Their lifestyle, they do his commandments. But outside, Revelation 22:15, outside are dogs and sorcerers. I don't think that's talking about your, you know, Fido. Dogs was a word that was used against pagans, people who just go and live by their own instincts. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers. That is probably a good word for drug and alcohol addicts. Alcohol is a drug. We all learned that in high school, right? Sorcerers, those who use the substances of this world to get high, and those who sell them. Outside are dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral. How many forms of that are these days? Right? It's not just LGBTQIA+. Right? There's just good old-fashioned fornication, sex outside of marriage. Right? Those who go on in those lifestyles, they're going to be outside. outsider dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and does, same wording as John 8:34, whoever loves and does a lie. The Bible ends with the same truth. There are those who are slaves to their sin and will not repent and come to Christ. They are slaves to their sin, and their future is they will not abide in the house of God. And in the churches of America today and in the churches of the world today, there are many just like these Jews in this context. If you could see their life, if we could see their life up on the screen, we'd see they're living in sin. And they're slaves to it. And there should be an element of compassion here. Because if you're a believer, we were once slaves too. I was a slave to sin. I could not set myself free. Praise God for the gospel. Praise God for those faithful to preach the gospel. Praise God for those who are faithful to come to people who are slaves of sin and say, you're not headed for heaven. You're headed for hell. You look nice on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones. Third, what's the hope? Where is the hope? And it is right here. Jesus, in grace for all who are slaves of sin, now turns to the good news, the gospel. He says, verse 35, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Who's the Son? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ abides in the house of God forever because he has no sin. And to the end that he would set free forever slaves of sin, Jesus Christ came into this world. He only came to save one kind of people, not two. What kind? Sinners. Isn't that something? I mean, Jesus says, I love that truth. Jesus did not come to save the righteous. Of course, there is only one kind of people, and that's sinners. But he knows that some are self-righteous. I'm good. Went out handing out tracts yesterday. It was great. Handing out tracts. How many were with us there handing out tracts yesterday? Some of you, okay. You have anybody say, I'm good? I did. Yep, Brenda had that. Yep, no, I'm good. The guy with a Semper Fi flag, I said, hey, sir, could I hand you one of these? It's, you know, it's the gospel. He said, I'm good. I said, well, sir, honestly, you're not. No, I am good. I said, well, I see you have a Semper Fi flag. So I switched gears. I said, hey, I've got a son in the Navy. Oh, I know the Marines always appreciate a good ride. You know, the Marines always say that, the Navy people, I always appreciate the ride, right? So I tried to get into the conversation, and he said, I am not interested. I said, I understand, sir. I'll just leave it here on your porch. Don't leave it. Okay. Sad, right? Very hardened. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about speak to your kids while they're tender. While they're tender and open and listening to the truth. Preach the gospel to your kids while they're tender. Let the law be a tutor to Christ, right? They got one law. Mom and dad, one law for your kids. Honor mom and dad. Teach them what it means. The good news is Jesus Christ came to set free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus Christ says this to Jews who are trapped in sin. For the same purpose for which we saw John 5 and John 6 and John 4, the woman at the well, for the same purpose for which he said you must be born again, Jesus Christ is the Savior for sinners. What's the application? Well, let me tell you, if you're here today, and you've not been born again, if we could look at your life over the past year, or so far this year, what is it, September, right? If we could look at the first 8 months of your life, what would we see? Are you living for Jesus Christ? Are you worshiping the God of heaven? Are you truly loving God with all your heart and loving people? I'm not saying that you never sin, but what is the pattern of your life? Have you been born again? Would those who see your life the closest, would they say, oh, son, daughter, there's every evidence that you love Jesus Christ. I see it. Praise God. Is that true of you? If not, God is sovereign. God in his sovereignty brought you here today that you might be set free. The most foolish, wicked thing you could do today is leave out those doors the same way you came in. Leave a slave of sin. And just prove that you are a slave of your foolishness. Brother Steve read from Ezekiel 33, I'm warning you. Faithful is the watchman who warns. I am warning you. If you came into this church today, and the truth is, you've never been born again, you've never been set free from sin, I'm warning you. If you stiffen your neck and harden your heart today, you may never be this close again. God owes you nothing. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear the Spirit of God, do not harden your heart. Receive Christ today. And you know how you do that? You just humble yourself where you are and you say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me, please. And he will forgive you. Call upon the Lord while he's near. Call upon the Lord while he may be found. God takes no delight in the death of the wicked. He takes no delight in the death of those who are slaves to sin. He only desires that you would turn from your wicked way. That's the application for you. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, soften your heart. Ask God to save you. Just call upon him in your own words, God, have mercy on me, and he will save you. What's the application if you're a believer? Stay tuned for communion. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a Savior, reaching out again and again to those who are lost and who are enslaved to their sin. Father, I pray, may you be merciful today. May this be the day of salvation for someone in this place. Look upon that young man or that young woman who's here today, or that old man or that old woman who's here today and not a Christian. And I just ask, Father, may today be the day of repentance and forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.